Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So, if you're listening live, come on over to the chat room, you can, and join the conversation. The chat room at firstamendmentradio.net/chat. And we're also on our mobile app at firstamendmentradio.com/Mobi. Check it out. Okay. Well, today we're going to talk about news, current events, as far as everything is going, and a little bit of with a prophecy reality worldview we've woven in to our worldview. That's what we do here. And the second hour, we'll probably focus a little bit more on the prophecy and the prophecy delusions that are going on. First of all, we have, maybe we ought to start out with the lighter side. How about that? Why don't we do the lighter side first and see if we can find something here. Maybe a little bit funnier from the Babylon Bee. They're reporting this morning that Disney World forced to close after DeSantis built elementary school within 1,000 feet. Of course, this is news you can't trust because it is satire. And I'm sure that Florida would never build a school near Disney World. At least I hope not. But I like this one best of all here. Fox News defamation trial over. As jury votes in favor of Dominion, 138,000 to 1. Yeah, that doesn't engender a lot of confidence in the voting system. If the people who are running our elections are providing the machines that run our elections are taking everyone to court that questions their voting systems, you'd think that instead they would counter with evidence and proof of how secure and right their voting system is. Rather than taking on the defense, you think that they would take the offense and prove that we should keep using their machines. But I think this is just, Dominion voting machines taking and suing everyone who questions the truth and efficacy of their voting systems. It just cries that, they cannot be trusted. Let them prove it, not in a court, and by suing news organizations and others that question them. So, supposed to be funny, but it's pretty serious, I guess, if elections are putting people in power. But are they? Nobody trusts them anymore. We can't even trust that the people that are voted for by the people actually will get into office. That's a sad state of affairs in America, but I've felt that way for more than 20 years myself. Yeah. So we'll leave that at that. Let's see what else the Babylon Bee has here for us. I haven't even looked at these yet. The email just appeared in my mailbox. So, ChatGTP exposed video. How is this ChatGPT really works? Okay, well, I guess you have to watch the video. I'm not going to do that. Walgreens cashier asks if you want to round up to help pay for some of the merchandise stolen this week. There it is. Yeah. Yeah, that round up for charity thing. Yeah. But to round up to help pay for some of the stolen merchandise this week. And that's another sad state of affairs in America where they're not prosecuting theft anymore, and businesses have to close because they're losing too much money. You don't set up a business to provide free stuff for people. That costs money to, See, boy, Mormon wishes he drank beer so he could boycott Bud Light. Yeah. Okay, if you say so. Let's see. Algorithm condemns man to lifetime of content about something he looked at one time. Yeah, we've all seen that. I use that now. If I want to get the best price on something, I look at it and then I leave it alone and I wait for it to come to me. Cause you know, they're doing that with their algorithms and what do you call those things? Your web site things. Yeah. Those things. It's a good thing I'm not running for president. Having a teenage moment here. Well, that's about as funny as it gets today. I do have some other ones I was looking at, but we'll go with those first. Anyway, now for some serious news. Yeah, serious news. I was checking out Technocracy News, their headlines here. Eat your vaccines. mRNA gene therapy foods. I don't think so. You know, at least I hope that they sneak something into some food that I eat, not knowing that it has, I mean, where's the, you know, advice consent? Where's the consent for this? If they're going to put this stuff, are they going to label all the food? This food, buy this as a point, you know, for buying the food there, you know, how they put, range free chickens. No, free-range chickens on eggs and stuff, or doesn't have any, whatever it doesn't have in it that's bad for you. Are they going to put that on your food now? Has mRNA gene therapy in it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking for only foods that have mRNA gene therapy in them. Yeah. Yeah. I want to get that. I want to humanize myself. See, the idea of eating vaccine technology through plants and animals is not new. Transhumans and technocrats have been intent on taking over all genetic material on Earth since at least 1992 with the advent of sustainable development and Agenda 21, where the term biodiversity was redefined as genetic manipulation. Well, I say no thank you. Yeah. So you got to be careful now, you know. I think they're already mRNA injecting pigs. So enjoy your bacon and your pork chop. Yeah, be very careful what you buy. Now, I'm not sure if the mRNA technology can survive through the digestive tract. I'm sure they're probably working on it, a way to make it. I mean, after all, you know, they figured out using a lipid nanoparticle that they could get it to penetrate your cells after injecting it into you. So maybe they're going to use lipid nanoparticles to, you know, to help the mRNA technology survive until it gets to your brain and, you know, it gets through your, so you got to be, yeah, I believe these people are very diabolical. Yeah, biodolical. Yes, because they're going to do it through biology and let you eat it. Yeah, eat it. There you go. IMF unveils Unicoin as legal tender. CBDC settlement. Ah, now there's something we should be interested in. Speaking of the Mark of the Beast, and our 2030 march to the Mark of the Beast, because that's what it's really all about, is the march to the Mark of the Beast. They want total control. You cannot own your money, see? And if you can't own your money, what can you own? Well, nothing. They want, because you will own nothing and you will be happy. You see how that works? Yeah, aren't you happy that you will own nothing? I mean, you know, to some idiot, brainless dolt out there who thinks, oh yeah, they want to buy into the utopia of the World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Yeah. But what if you're not happy owning nothing? Oh, I think they got a plan for that too. Yeah, I don't think you're gonna like it. I already don't like the old idea of owning nothing and somehow being happy. I think they call that the grave, don't they? Because you give up all your property rights when you're dead. Yeah, but they want you to have no property rights now, because that's what it's all about, is property rights. Because the truth is, nobody really owns anything anyway, because God has it all. And when you speak of ownership, well, you own property rights in your property, you know. And if you don't pay your taxes, your property taxes, well, they will demonstrate quite forcibly how much your property rights matter, in comparison to theirs, because they will come and remove you from your property and sell it to somebody else, who's willing to take on the property taxes. So, yeah, make sure you pay your taxes. Yes. It doesn't matter if you're renting or you own the property, you're still living on it. You're paying those taxes. They get that from everybody. I believe there should be no property taxes, but I don't think they're going away. Not in my lifetime. Yeah. Especially at my age. Wait a minute. Yeah. Not in this lifetime anyway. But when Jesus comes, I'm pretty sure that there are not going to be any property taxes. So let's all vote for Jesus, because he is coming back, and it will be soon. You know, I would say inside of 40 years, 40 years at the outside. Yeah, there it is. I said it. I'm a date setter. How do you like that? No, that's not really setting dates, but yeah, I have a feeling, you know, because I know what year it is from creation, approximately. I don't know exactly what year it is. It doesn't matter. But if you're close, yeah, you get the idea. Okay, so IMF unveils Unicoin as legal tender. When I first saw that, I thought I was reading Unicorn. Yeah, but it's as legal tender CBD settlement. So what they're saying is everybody's going to CBDCs. We better have a settlement coin. And I like it how they always put a picture of a coin up there. Yeah, let me grab it. Put it in my pocket. I don't think so. That's, yeah, but yeah, buy into our fantasy. That's what they're saying. Yeah, you can have a digital, unicorn coin. Yes, one unicorn coming up. Yes, that'll be three unicorns, please. So individual CBDCs are coming together through interoperability. Now the International Monetary Fund has introduced the unicorn coin. I mean, the unicorn that may be the master key to the rest of CBDCs. CBDCs may still transfer peer-to-peer with other CBDCs, but unicorn could provide temporary and stable storage space when necessary. Yeah, I'd like to know exactly what it is that they're storing. Your name and where are you calling from? Ah, my most faithful listener, just calling in to let me know that he is back for another week. Yeah, he's probably over here just making sure that nobody's paying attention. It does, because then he would have to report me to the high command, right? And then they could squash me like a bug, which I'm sure they could. Yeah, but as long as nobody's listening to me, who cares, right? I mean, I've got two people in the chat room this morning so far, and I don't know how many are listening. I don't care, because I don't do this for, fame and fortune. Because if I was doing it for fame and fortune, I'm in the wrong business. That's right. The business of reporting the unreportable. Anyway, back to the mark of the beast technology, the CBDC. Yeah, we must resist, people, and we must continue to resist, because they will continue to push it. So the IMF, the money masters, right? All this talk about alternatives to the American dollar, the reserve currency of the world, blah blah blah. It's the same money powers across the board. So now they're going to align with China. And China is now has more control. I mean, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist has more control in China. As a matter of fact, they did transfer all the wealth of America, which was once the most wealthiest nation on the planet, and they transferred it all to China, a little closer to home for the Antichrist and his minions. And that's why, you know, it's fine. America can diminish, and that makes me happier. If we can get out of the rest of the world's business, I like that idea, okay? The Antichrist came over here and secured its spot with the Constitution of the United States, getting rid of that confederation of states, you know, of free states, of separate and free states that were confederated for their common defense, basically, and the preservation of their liberties. And yeah, threw that out, and we got a constitution instead. And though there was many good things in that constitution that, if it was lived up to, which wasn't the plan for the dragon influence when that constitution was set up, the dragon influence was there to make sure that it could be corrupted and that it would be a setup more to their liking, one which they could easily corrupt over time, because that's the way the Antichrist and his shadow government work. They work through corruption. I'm reading some very interesting history here, going through the Hori Apocalypticae, and this one, this chapter 5 of volume 3, Volume 3, Part 5, Chapter 5, The Fifth Vial, Progress of Papal Judgment. Now, this is a very embarrassing history for the papacy, and you should check that out at horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com. I'll put that in the link to that in the chat room here, and or you can go to horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com. Volume 3, Part 5, Chapter 5. Very interesting history. Like I said, very embarrassing for the papacy. This is the kind of thing that they like to keep hidden. What happened at the termination of the 1260-year papal reign? And yeah, they don't want you to know what happened to them at the outbreak of the French Revolution. And what happened over the next 20, 30, well, up through about 1870 to them, where their power was diminished to where they had lost even all temporal power completely. Very, very embarrassing history. So read it gleefully and rejoice, because it cuts them down to size. But the scripture does tell, and we haven't got to that part yet, if you get to the fifth vial in the Hori Apocalypticae, and this is the fifth vial judgment poured out on the seat of the beast. Very interesting history. You can see why they hate Protestantism and historicism so much, with their counter-reformation effort to hiding history and true Bible prophecy interpretation, because it, like I said, it is very, very embarrassing to them. So make sure you check that out. Go to horiapocalypticae.wordpress.com, click on Volume 3, and then go to Part 5, Chapter 3 of that volume. And wow, it'll blow your mind. Yeah. Reading it again myself, just having my mind blown again. Just enjoying it so much, to put some things into perspective when we see the progress of what has happened since then, especially with the progress of the three frog-like spirits that were loosed at about the same time, really with the sixth vial, the following vial of this one. You had the three frog-like spirits, and the purpose of those three frog-like spirits was to prepare for the great day of God Almighty, while at the same time several other things were going on, like the gospel being preached to the entire world through the missionary efforts, mainly of the tenth of the kingdom that fell away and did not partake in this judgment. It's very interesting history. And also her child nation, the tenth of the kingdom that fell away and established those 13 colonies on the North American continent, and the nation that rose out of that together through the 19th and 20th centuries, sent missionaries all over the world, and still are. I mean, go into any Baptist church, you go into any church besides a lot of these new age, so-called, evangelical churches where they don't do missionary work anymore. But you go into an old-timey Baptist church where they're still using King James English Bible. That's getting rare these days. And you'll notice that they're all supporting missionaries. Not just one, but three or four each church every month supporting missionaries and the gospel going out to the country to preach that same old-timey King James Bible, English Bible gospel to the world, and the salvation that comes through the knowledge and the propitiational sacrifice of the Son of God who paid the price for our sins. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. But like I said, very interesting history and all these things going on at the same time during this final and closing era. So you have the 1800s, the 1900s. Don't worry, this century is going to wrap it up and bring in the millennial reign of Christ. And no, it's not imminent, because there are things that have not happened yet. And so this is up there for you for free. You don't have to buy the book, although you can buy it. Go to horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com. If you want to add the text to your library, you can buy a 4-volume set there in paperback, well, an ebook, paperback, or hardcover, whatever you want for your library. And like I said, read it 3 times through, you know. May take you a couple of years, but it'll start to sink in. Yeah. You ask me how I know. There you go. Okay, well, let's see what else. Let's see about this unicorn coin. I'm going to call it a unicorn coin because it's a fantasy, man. And the coins don't really exist. Like I said, they always show a picture of a coin to make you, you know, identify it with something substantial and real. But it only works if the internet is working. So that's kind of why I'm wondering, well, they're scaring the world with nuclear war right now, but won't that knock down the internet most everywhere? And all their unicorn coins will disappear. That's why I call it the unicorn coin, because it's going to disappear. It's a fantasy. If you have no internet, you know, how are you going to spend your unicorn coin to get a loaf of bread? I say you better get some gold and silver or some commodity that you could trade. I mean, buy bags of salt if you have to. It was once legal tender. And if they have nuclear war, well, salt will probably be legal tender again. Bullets, that's another one. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host. cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and I'm Nicholas. And we're talking about the unicorn. Yes, the unicorn coin. The fantasy and the scare of nuclear war around the world. You know, I really am not afraid of nuclear war. If it happens, it happens. I mean, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. If they want to blow off some of their nuclear bombs, then that's, I guess, what they will do, whatever God allows them to do. I don't know. I'm not really afraid of World War III either, because if they really want to roll out their CBDC and turn us all into slaves that own nothing, because once they own our money, we have no ownership in our money, then what do we really own? Nothing. Yeah, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Of not having money to hold in your hand, of owning nothing and somehow being stupid enough to be happy with that while they own everything and rent it to us. That's what they're, I mean, they should just complete the sentence. You will own nothing and you will be happy. We will own everything and you will rent it from us and we will be very happy because you will be poor and we will be rich, filthy rich. Yes, you will be the ruled and we will be the rulers. Yeah, just keep going on there. You get the idea. So according to a press release announcing the new currency, also known as the unicorn coin, the unicorn is a legal money commodity. But it's illegal. Yes, it's legal. It's a legal money commodity. Don't forget that, people. It's legal. That can transact any legal tender settlement currency and functions like a CBDC to enforce banking regulations and protect the financial integrity of the international banking system. Yeah, they just had to do it. It was necessary to protect the financial integrity of the international banking system. Yes, and I don't give a unicorn fart about that myself. The UMU adopts, that's the, also known as the unicorn, the UMU, Universal Monetary Unit. How many names can they have for the same thing? Adopts a central banking monetary policy framework to ensure it has the continuous purchasing demand, minimal price volatility, and annual asset pricing targets, the announcement said. Yes, that's gobbledygook, for we own the money and we control it. So you're not supposed to worry about it or question it at all. Did you get that? Banks will be able to utilize the new currency by attaching SWIFT codes and bank accounts to a UMU digital currency wallet. This enables them to conduct SWIFT-like cross-border payments entirely over digital currency rails, accessing the best price wholesale FX rates, and achieving instantaneous real-time settlement while bypassing the correspondent banking system. Yeah. I don't know. Does the bankers in America, do they really want to go along with something that bypasses them? Seems problematic. It's also against the Federal Reserve Act law, but I guess the World Monetary Fund is, they can do it, but the Fed can't. I mean, even though they're trying to roll out FedCoin for the same purpose, it's all coming from the same money masters who control the money powers of the world. Yeah. So, how much more do you need to know about that? Maybe we'll look at some other headlines. Yeah, good idea, huh? Other headlines, let's see. Rechtenwald on transhumanism, hacking humanity. When I started to lecture on transhumanism in 2010, it was a lonely podium. Today, there are hundreds of top scholars warning about the dangerous cult of transhumanism that posits evolution is theirs to control via genetic manipulation. This has warmed over eugenics from Nazi Germany and further back to the California state government. To the California state government. The notion that the world can be replicated and replaced by a simulated reality says a great deal about the beliefs of those who promote the metaverse. The conception is materialist and mechanistic at its base. The hallmarks of social engineering, it represents the world as consisting of nothing but manipulable matter. Manipulable matter. Yeah, that's what that says. Or rather, of digital media mimicking matter. It suggests that human beings can be reduced to a material substratum and can be induced to accept technological reproduction in lieu of reality. How's that going to work? You want a child? You're going to get a digital child. That's right. I think they're actually doing that. Yeah, for people who want a child, but, you know, don't want the bother. Yeah, of dirty diapers. And all that comes with having a child. Further, it assumes that those who inhabit this simulacrum, I have a whole bunch of new words here to go with the technology. Simulacrum. Okay, that's a word. Yeah, it must be a word. Further, it assumes that those who inhabit this simulacrum, can be controlled by technocratic means, such as materialist, mechanistic, techno-determinist, and reductionist worldview, is consistent with the transhumanist belief that humans themselves will soon be succeeded by a new transhuman species, or humanity plus, perhaps a genetically and AI-enhanced cyborg that will outstrip ordinary humans and make the latter virtually obsolete. Yes, and I think there's something in the Bible I read about the destruction of those that are destroying the earth. They're destroying God's creation, or at least that's their attempt, is to destroy God's creation. And that's why they're mutilating children today. Their latest victims are your children in public schools. That's right. And they are after them. They want their bodies. They want to change them into cyborgs. They want to transhumanize them. Yes. The term transhumanism was coined by Julian Huxley, the brother of the novelist Aldous Huxley, and the first director general of the United Nations Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization, UNESCO. In an essay entitled Transhumanism, published in the book New Bottles for New Wine, like I'm using a biblical euphemism there, New Bottles for New Wine, speaking of your body, that's their version, right? Huxley defined transhumanism as the self-transcendence of humanity. Self-transcendence. The human species can, if it wishes, wish really hard, will ya? Wishes really do come true. Click your heels 3 times. Rub the genie bottle. You get 3 wishes. Yes. Will transcend itself if it wishes, not just sporadically, an individual here in one way, an individual there in another way, but in its entirety as humanity. We need a name for this new belief. Perhaps transhumanism will serve, man remaining man, but transcending himself by realizing new possibilities of and for his human nature. Yeah, one question for transhumanism is indeed whether this transcendence will apply to the whole human species, or rather for only a select part of it. Yeah, that's why they're trying to kill most of the population on Earth, because they figure once they transhumanize into their new eternal life on planet Earth, that's what these people are thinking they're going to do. That's their delusion. That's their deception, that they think that's going to happen. But it's not going to happen. Yeah. Because while they're experimenting on you, you better believe they're watching very closely to see what works and what doesn't. But let me tell you that most of it is not working. Yeah. For them. Oh, if it's not working for you, for them, they're just observing to see if anything does work that they can use to turn themselves into eternal transhumans that will live on the planet forever. Because in order to do that, yeah, they don't need most of the people on the planet. They think 500 million, that'll be fine. Yeah, we got to get rid of the other, 8 billion people on the planet, whatever it is, whatever that number is that people there are in the planet. If we have 8.5 billion, well, they need to get rid of 8 billion of us. So if a lot of us get killed in their experiments while they try to figure out what works and what doesn't, that they can trance. Yeah. Let them, do it. That's their idea of heaven. But believe me, they are deluded. That's for sure. And they think we're the ones who are deluded because we believe in eternal life through Christ Jesus. Yeah, well, at least we have some history to go on. They're only experimenting with the future. But some things they don't understand or believe God's Bible prophecy, which has come true to this very day. Everything he said would happen up to this point in history, yeah, it has happened. But they can't see it because it's hidden from them, because their eyes are blinded. And, yes, by everything they believe. So that's enough on transhumanism. We know where that's going to, that's all going to end. Let's see what else they got here. How now rice farming is being targeted for carbon reductions. Yes, the whole, carbon thing. Now they want to get rid of the food. See, they didn't like the energy at first, because they want to fly anywhere they want to fly in their private jets all over the world. But they realize that they're creating so much carbon that they have to, kill off 8 billion other people. And that way they can pollute all they want. See how that works. So they have to get rid of energy for you. And what else? Oh, yeah, buildings to live in. Yes, all those carbon polluting buildings and building materials and cement. And we can't have that. We got to get rid of that. So you will own nothing. You will have no place to live, no place to go, because they don't want you to have an automobile and to travel. And then they don't want you to have anything to eat either. So they're going to kill food, and they're working very hard. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have noticed. So are they going to, I guess, nuclear war? Because I guess if they're going to get rid of 8 billion people and get it down to 500 million that they want to live, I guess nuclear war is an option. Yeah, because they're wondering how we can do it. But I mean, what's the carbon footprint of nuclear war? Yeah, like they could really care. Yeah. I was watching the new New York governor. He was telling people that they have to get rid of beef and food. Food is the third most polluting or carbon creating enterprise on the planet, right after transportation and building, then food. Yeah. New York governor. I'm going, these people voted for this guy? Really? Hasn't enough destruction been done to New York City yet that they want to now get rid of food? that seemed to be his emphasis. I couldn't believe what I was watching or seeing. Where did I see that at? But it's out there. Just look up New York mayor and food in your search engine, and you'll probably see his face up there proudly proclaiming that New York is going to be carbon neutral. Yeah, when you get rid of all the people and all the food and all the buildings and all the transportation, I guess, you know, it'll be carbon neutral. You can't live in a carbon neutral world. I'm sorry. You know, I think that's called Mars or the moon. You know, someplace totally desolate of life. That's where it's carbon neutral. It's just another, David Knight says, another unicorn fart that they're selling you. That's all it is. The whole climate MacGuffin carbon footprint nonsense. Carbon taxes, carbon footprint, carbon neutral. It's just, I cracked up. I was listening to what this guy was saying, the governor of New York, and I just started laughing. I couldn't help myself. It was so hilarious that people were taking this seriously. I mean, people, they voted for this guy so he could get rid of food. I'm going, really, people are going for this? They really want to get rid of food? Are you sure you want to do this? Yeah, it's not a pretty picture when people are starving to death. Did you really vote for this guy? Or was it those voting machines that put him in? Yeah. But hey, you can't complain about that because they'll come and sue you. That's right. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, thank you for that. Technocracy News. From Patrick Wood. You should subscribe to that website. It's always good. Always good stuff there from Patrick Wood. All right. Let's see what else we got. We'll close that one. Let's see. Biden's susceptibility to blackmail has unleashed domestic and international chaos. Yeah, well, that's one way of looking at it. But he's just doing the bidding of his master. That's what he's really doing. Of course, you know, they compromise people because, you know, maybe Biden once had a conscience. Not sure when I survey the history of his life and his public service, I'm not sure that he ever had a conscience. He's perfect. He's perfect for the Antichrist to install as the puppet or procurator of America. Yeah, come to think of it, he is the perfect puppet for the Antichrist. Yeah, that's why he's there. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Washington and Trump, the indispensable man. Whatever their faults, both of these men were and are the right man for the needs of the time. Yeah, that sounds interesting from American Thinker. To most, putting Washington and Trump together might seem an odd painting or pairing. Let's consider why these two great Americans belong together. Well, from 1776, when our Declaration of Independence was signed, till the signing of the Treaty of Paris in 1783, George Washington led our colonial army against the greatest military force in the world. The last major battle of the Revolutionary War was the Battle of Yorktown. Okay, well, he's going to spin something here to make you compare Washington to Donald Trump. But, okay, George Washington said, I don't want to be king. Would Donald Trump want to be king if he could? Just think it. He is pretty narcissistic. And I don't know, was George Washington narcissistic? Well, not narcissistic enough to want to be king. Yeah, he did give in to be the first president under the Constitution, that is, because there were several presidents before that of the Articles of the Confederated States of America. Yeah, which wasn't a bad thing. We really didn't need a Constitution, but yeah, we got one anyway. Yes, we can thank the Dragon Power for that. I know it's the truth that the main impetus behind the Constitution. And they had to put all that good stuff in there or no one would go for it. And we've discussed that many times. Okay, in a meeting held on March 15, Washington addressed a gathering of angry officers in Newburgh, New York. He could tell by the men's faces, many of whom had not been paid for quite some time, that they were very angry. Some did not show him the respect and deference they had previously shown. Washington then delivered what was known as the Newburgh Address. In a short, impassioned speech, he counseled patience to oppose anyone who wickedly attempts to open the floodgates of civil discord and deluge our rising empire in blood. When he paused to don glasses to read a letter from the from a congressman, that shocked those in the assembly who had never seen him with glasses. "Gentlemen," Washington said, "you will permit me to put on my spectacles, I have not only grown gray, but almost blind in the service of my country." Those words brought many in the room to tears, for they had shared the deprivations and burdens together. This put an end to any talk of violence, and a compromise payment plan was worked out later. Yes, yeah, so Washington would head the Constitutional Convention in 1788 and become the two-term president quite reluctantly as regards his second term. He blocked a move to join a new war with the French against England, and the press excoriated him for his stand. Well, I'm glad he did, and I've read his farewell address, and I think everyone should read Washington's farewell address and all of the advice that he gave to the country, none of which is being followed today. Yeah, but maybe we need to get back to that. Okay, so comparing Washington and Donald Trump, I don't know, it almost seems sacrilegious to do that. But, let's see, would George Washington have ever signed an executive order outlawing bump stocks? No, probably not. Would George Washington have ever shut down the nation, told some people that they were not necessary, and lock everyone in their homes for over a year, or even at till his presidency, with leaving the presidency without undoing all of that before he left? I don't think so. Let's see, what else? Would George Washington have had a gala festivity celebrating the overthrow of American marriage, the Obergefell thing, at his residence, wherever his residence was? George Trump had his at Mar-a-Lago. Would he? I don't think so. I don't think there's any comparison. And it's a possibility that Trump could be our next president, the next president of the United States. It is a possibility as it stands right now, and perhaps a likelihood. I don't know if the cheaters can't cheat enough, or if they've lost enough power over the voting in the interim, because I know there are people working very hard to try and secure the vote in the several states. So hopefully that will have some effect and the people can actually vote. Yeah, we'll see. Well, this is right at the end of the hour. Your name and where are you calling from? Oh, good. There's nobody there. Because this hour is just about to end. So maybe we'll save the rest of this for the other side of the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And when we get back, we will have some more news and worldview, commentary on that. Also, your comments, your questions in the chat room or by phone will be welcome. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And when we left, we were comparing with this article from American thinker George Washington to Donald Trump, or should I say Donald Trump to George Washington. So speaking of George Washington, given his commitment to America and his wisdom, it is no surprise that until the woke movement came along, George Washington would be the beloved father of his country. Now let's look at Donald Trump. On April 11th, Tucker Carlson interviewed the 45th president. "I was impressed," the author says. He spoke movingly about how the people responsible for the act of booking him were near tears about their task and repeatedly apologized. In his experience when he went back to New York, the police there were, they were near tears, he says, and repeatedly apologized for what they were required to do by their job. The scene recalled the 1783 incident in Newburgh, New York. "Law enforcement loves Trump," the article says. Much of the interview dealt with foreign policy and the incredible dangers our country faces because of the juvenile delinquents running our country. Trump reminded us how the war in Ukraine was entirely avoidable, and it's quickly turning into our second Vietnam. Recently leaked documents show that we have troops on the ground and that Ukraine is slowly losing, although Democrats contend these facts are untrue. President Trump also discussed America's inability to provide armaments for the ongoing Ukraine war while maintaining reserves needed for our own security, something else that has concerned conservatives. This is a serious and deeply concerning issue. President Trump and Tucker both spoke of the massive error in judgment that sees Russia driven closer ties with China, thus establishing an adversary whose joint resources are superior to ours. In speaking of China's military capabilities, Trump argued that they are only 5 years behind us in nuclear weaponry. This is consistent with other takes on China's growing power. And on it goes. Now, many people, there are some people that say that Donald Trump is really a deep state plant. and that if he gets into office again, that that they will just use him again to do what no Democrat could do, whatever that was. But I think since Joe Biden has got into office, and he has done what they say they would need a Republican for the destruction he's done to the country since then, seems to overthrow that argument anyway. I believe that it doesn't matter. But I would like to see Donald Trump apologize for what he did do. I think that would bring in more votes than denying, being in denial what he did do that was wrong. And that was the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. There should have never been no weeks to flatten the curve. But breaking his word on that. And would that happen again? Because I would like to hear him say, I was duped. I should not have done that. That will never happen again. I've learned enough that I'm going to go in this time and really clean out the swamp, fire the FBI, whatever, you know, get rid of the Department of Education. Those are the things that I want to hear from him. I don't want to hear about liberty or, you know, freedom cities or whatever other nonsense that I hear coming out of his mouth. Yeah. There are way too many important things. Yeah, he needs to tell us, not what we need to hear, but what really needs to be done. So, if the jury is out on Trump, well, we don't need a jury to look at what he has done and realize that for everything he did, what he did in his last year, more than erased all of the good that he did. Although some of the good things that he did are still standing, but a lot of them, especially those executive orders that he passed, so Joe Biden just went and did reverse them. Of course, it was against the law for him to reverse, what was that executive order from the previous president that he said the court wouldn't let him reverse? Why did he even ask the court if he could do it? Yeah. Who gave him that advice because it's an executive order, and whoever's the executive can undo any executive order before him. So, a lot of fishiness going on there. I really think we need a better choice. But unfortunately, he is one of the choices we have. And I'm just as wary about Ron DeSantis and RFK Jr. as I am about Donald Trump. So I don't know what to say. And whether the vote works or not, or whether we really have a vote. Yeah, there's so much out there. So, what an article comparing Donald Trump to George Washington. I think it's way off the mark. Yeah. Not going for it. And that comes from America Thinker, a mostly pro-Trump site as far as, as sites go. Okay, well, let's see what else we have here. See, Macron bows to China. Yeah, he did that. I watched that. Macron, the leader of France, is a young global leader of the World Economic Forum ilk. So we know what to expect from him. The same thing we expect from the governor of California. Yes, who is directly Jesuit trained, and his master is the Antichrist. That's right. Well, let's see. Republicans step into the do something trap. Yeah, we just gotta do something. Yeah, well, let's make sure it's legal first, or lawful according to the Constitution, and the, what the long-term effects are. Let's not be, reactive. But the whole neocon rhino Republican in name only, or conservative in name only, these people are not that. They're all paid and bought for the most part. At least the ones that have all the power are bought and paid for by the Antichrist and his shadow government. Okay, let's see. The shot heard around the world. No, I'm not going to go there. Biden's susceptible. We already talked about that one. So let's close out this tab here and see what else we have. Okay, we looked at that one. Let's see. Media covers up tracking of unvaccinated people. Yes, they were, apparently, to Dr. Mercola. They were tracking unvaccinated people. Well, how would they would know you were unvaccinated? Well, you have a social security number. Yeah, that reminds me of the social security card. Yeah, used to have the, it used to give you a card. And some of you probably still have one. It would have a name like yours. It would be your name, but in all caps. And that's what they put on your tombstone. Okay? Your name in all caps. That's what they put on a boat. The name of the boat in all caps. Because it's a fiction. So all fictions and dead people are designated by all caps in their names. That's right. That's a rule of whatever, grammar and law, whatever. Anyway, they have a book on it. Anyway, so that's what it is. So they give you this card, and it has your name in all caps, and then it has your nine-digit number. And it says, and then after it says that, below that it says, not to be used for identification. Yeah. But so what is it? What is it good for if it's not good for identification? If the whole purpose of the card is to identify the name with the number, its only purpose is to be used for identification. But what they really mean is it's not to be used for identification in the same way as a driver's license or a passport. But they don't want to say that. You just want to say not to be used for identification to make you think that, yeah, it's not. But the only purpose is to identify you with the number to get you to believe that first that that fictional name in all caps is your name. And then that is your number. And if you believe it, well, that makes it so. Yeah. Then you have the mark of the beast. If you believe it. It's not everyone who has the name, the card and sees their name in all caps. Some people understand what's going on there because it's a fictional account and it's got a fictional name and it's their number. It's never yours. If it's yours, I'll buy it from you. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that. It's illegal to sell or buy a social security number. You could go to jail for that because it's not your number. You can't sell what doesn't belong to you. See how that works? All right, let's see what else we got. Media covers up tracking of unvaccinated people. Arbitrary use of power. Punishing those who expose not-so-secret government secrets. Yeah, that's a funny thing. I just heard in the news, the headlines, that they were going to have the hearing in court, but it didn't happen for some reason. So I don't know what's going on with this guy who exposed what's really going on. He published some documents, apparently, so they want to talk about the guy instead of what was in the documents, and I think that's what's really going on. They want you to focus on the guy and the bad thing that he did rather than what he exposed, that it's all a sham. The whole thing going on over there in Ukraine is a big, big lie. Yeah. So pay no attention to that. Let's see. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reflects on the assassination of JFK and RFK. A lot of good articles there about RFK and how it's developed him and his character. And I think with what he's been going through for the last 3 years, that he might be backing up on a lot of this other nonsense that's going on. At least I hope to hear it from him. And I still, you know, I'm subscribed to his Child Health Defense email, so I get to see all the articles. And I'm still not on board with everything that they're doing. maybe I'm on board with half of the things they're doing, but a lot of it still aligns with the climate MacGuffin. And so that kind of a little bit scares me about RFK Jr., that he might fall into that trap. And so I'd like to hear more from him on that and his thinking about that. Are we going to use real science? Yeah. Because it seems to me that he was bamboozled in years past over the climate MacGuffin. So has he woke up? Has he come out of that? Well, if he did on vaccines, then perhaps he can apply the same real science and real research into that too, because we're all for that. None of us want to pollute our planet, ruin it, you know. It's like there are things that, yeah, I think we need to question, like a lot of the things that are going into our foods and the poisons being, you know, dumped into our environment and also the frequencies being used for cell phones. We need to look at all that stuff, you know, and the vaccine thing, you know, the trials need to go not just 10 years, but they need to go for 20 years. 'Cause look, you know, with the rise of autism since, let's see, what president was it? Or since 1986, when the drug companies were given immunity from prosecution and responsibility for the effects that their vaccines and drugs would have on the populace, basically, especially the vaccines and child immunizations. So they ramped it up, and they became very powerful and very rich by that law. And you could just look up the statistics on childhood diseases, and it's just horrendous how they have skyrocketed along with the use of these vaccines since that time, 1986. Yeah, very bad. So everything needs to be questioned. Free those who expose government misdeeds. Jail those who try to conceal them. Well, gee, they'd have to lock up everybody at CNN. Yeah, and half of the people in the government. You know, we can't do that. Okay, what else? Buyers thwarted by high mortgages. Let's see, the Great Society, how NATO state sponsored. Yeah, there's a lot of headlines there. Let's see what else we got. This is the one. Oh, wait a minute. This is the other. 7 reasons gun control will make your family safer. That sounds like it could be a good article. Oh, here's what I was talking about earlier. The Chicago mayor warns. Oh, this is the Chicago. This is about Walmart. But the Chicago mayor, I did see this. And like I said, I couldn't believe it that he was telling people they have to get rid of food. But this is the guy here. This is the clown. Chicago mayor. Oh, no, that was the New York mayor. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Chicago mayor warns that if local Walmart locations close, people will have fewer places to shoplift. Yes, indeed. Well, let's see. Yeah, I like this one. This is not supposed to be funny, though, but my pronoun is liberty. I like that one. All right. Don't get that one. All this woke stuff is pretty dumb. Am I right, fellas? MAGA hat wearing Bud Light CEO chuckles nervously. Yeah. Tried to, all the money they've lost. How terrible for them. I could care less. Yeah. Buy local beer if you can. Yeah, make your own. What do I care? I'll see. Zelensky drives by in Ferrari to remind Americans of the importance of filing your taxes. There you go. And his estate in Florida. At least he has the place to go after, you know, the war in the Ukraine fails. Or if they start World War III. Yeah. And dropping nukes. Will Florida be safe? Yeah. Probably safer from nukes than it is from a tsunami. There you go. Okay, Bud Light smooths things over with a new ad featuring drag queen waving American flag. Oh, this one's funny. Apostle John leaves Patmos Resort. Brutal one-star review. Okay, well, that's enough funny stuff for the day. And we're at the end of the second hour. I forgot. We're supposed to do something on prophecy. Well, I did have this article here. Let's talk about that. Let's spend the rest of this hour on this one here. That's enough news. That's enough depressing for you. I like to laugh at it. What else can I do? I get to one hour a week come over here and laugh at the news and share it with you. Okay, how will the world explain the rapture? Here it is. We have more delusional Rev310.net stuff going on here. The rapture delusion continues. The popular rapture delusion. They believe that there will be a separate resurrection for special people. And they are the special people, I'll tell you. Okay, so he starts out his article here. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. Okay, well, that's not about a rapture. That's about the resurrection. That's from 1 Corinthians 15. And that's about the resurrection, because if you read the rest of it, there's no rapture anywhere there. Okay? Because it's when the dead will be raised, see? But the rapture, their rapture thing, is not for all the dead, but only the special dead in Christ, that are special like those that are alive and remain when Christ comes. So he says, the rapture of the church, it is Christianity's most preposterous belief. He borrowed that from Chuck Missler. I think that's out of the title of one of his books. So he's trying to be clever here by borrowing from another rapturist, Chuck Missler. Anyway, it's Christianity's most preposterous belief. Well, not really, but it's up there. I'd rank it in the top 50, maybe top 10 of Christianity's most preposterous beliefs. Because all of those preposterous beliefs, they're only preposterous because you cannot find them in the Bible anywhere. There's no separate resurrection event for special people like him and all of these delusional people, like the guy I read about last week, who said that the resurrection or the rapture is not the blessed hope of the church if you can't escape tribulation. It said words basically to that effect. They're going, no, that's not the blessed hope of the church. You know, for those guys being martyred, burned at the stake, you know, chased out of their countries, leaving everything behind. Their blessed hope was not escaping persecution and tribulation. Their blessed hope was the resurrection. I mean, you're burning at the stake and, oh my God, I missed the blessed hope. Look, here's tribulation. And Jesus said to throw all that away. He said, in this life, you will have tribulation. I guess they don't really believe what Jesus said. If their blessed hope is not a blessed hope without escaping tribulation or the great tribulation, another deception. Of course, you have to have the great tribulation in order to have something to escape, something so frightening that you'll believe something as preposterous as a separate and special secret rapture. Yeah. Which is not the resurrection. And they'll even tell you that it's not the resurrection. It's the rapture. It comes before the resurrection, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years before it. If you're keeping up with the rapture cult, that's what you'd find out. And then he goes on to make another preposterous statement. He said, the purpose for this article is not to defend the doctrine of the pre-trib rapture of the church, when, like the Social Security card saying that not to be used for identification is preposterous, so is that statement preposterous. The only reason for this article is to defend the pre-tribulation rapture, if you read it. He says, I'll save that for a future article. Well, every future article that even mentions the rapture is about the rapture. For this musing, he says, yes, we are all amused. I want to consider how the world might go about explaining the disappearance of millions of people worldwide. And you know what? We should talk about that when we get back from this break. I want to hear how will the world explain the rapture? We'll get into that when we come back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And I pulled up this article from Rev310.net. How will the world explain the rapture? Well, I don't believe in a rapture, but I do believe in the resurrection. And he asked in this article, in this musing, he says, I want to consider how the world might go on explaining the disappearance of millions of people worldwide. Well, that's not going to happen. People are not going to disappear. Sorry, that's their secret rapture thing that's going on. Here's what the scripture really says. It says that when Christ returns, that those who are alive and remain, that first the dead in Christ will be raised. And those that are alive and remain on the earth, and that would be like me and you, if we're living at that time when he returns, that we have to join the dead in Christ after they're raised. And it says that they will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And then they will be caught up together to meet him in the air, because he's returning, to return with him. That's how that's going to happen. And it's going to happen pretty fast. So the question is not going to be explaining the disappearance of millions of people. It's going to be, how did those millions of people get from where they were all over the world to where Jesus is when he returns? That's going to be the real question. And how will they explain it? Well, we will explain it. We will go, look, that's what the Bible said would happen. see, that book that's 2,000 years ago old, it said that this was going to happen, and it said everything that happened up to this point was going to happen, that it declared in the book, the prophecy that was fulfilled up to that this very day and will be fulfilled up to that day, including that one, will then be fulfilled. And that's the question. The question the world will be asking is, how did those people from all over the world who are Christians, and they will all be known to be devout Christians because they lived the life, okay? And they proclaimed it loudly to the world, okay, that they were, if they could. And so you knew. So the question will be, how did they get from all over the world to where Jesus is when he comes back? And perhaps it will be on the mountains of Megiddo or somewhere in the Mideast is where we're supposed to have our meetup, our family reunion. And no, now the rapturists believe that Jesus is going to catch them up and they're all going to disappear for 7 years and go to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I think that the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place here on the earth in the interim. And the interim is between when they're caught up and when the final war begins. Because speaking of World War III and nuclear bombs and all that kind of stuff that the world is being frightened into being afraid of right now, there is a war spoken of, a final war for this era, okay, that is spoken of in the Bible. And that is the war against Christ and his saints. And so what will the world say? Well, they're going to have to say that this guy is, like I said last week, not really Christ, but he is an alien imposter, because they can't admit the Bible is true. They're going to just say that he is an alien imposter, like you saw in Star Trek or some fictional movie, where he's just pretending to fulfill the prophecy, but that he had the power to move all these true believers in him to where he was. And they're all deluded followers of his. They were beforehand, because through the power of alien technology, of course, he mind controlled them and reprogrammed them to be his servants, and he knew who they were, that he reprogrammed, whatever. So this is how they will explain it. And of course, the world will be up in arms, because an alien threat has appeared on the planet and has absconded with part of the population of the earth. So they're going to counsel together how to meet this alien threat. Instead of looking at each other and going, what do we do? They're going to be working together and then saying, what are we going to do about this threat? And then they are going to come after Christ and his saints as the threat that they are. But we know the outcome is also written in prophecy, but since they don't believe it, they are going to believe that they are going to be the victors and the conquerors in their movie. That's what they believe. Just like the ones in the movies. Yeah, just like that Star Trek episode, you know, where Captain Kirk exposes the fraud. And see, that's what they think they're going to do. That's how deluded they are. That's what's really something like is going to happen. It's not how will they explain the rapture, but how will they explain? Because the people are not going to be missing. Because nobody's going to hide, we're not going to hide the fact where we are to our loved ones. There will be, like I said, there will be those brave reporters that will, you know, will perhaps go in and speak to some of those people, the resurrected saints that met Christ in the air and came back with him, with all of the dead resurrected saints from all time. Because there's plenty of room on this planet, and don't worry. You know, Christ has the resources to support us all. Yeah, that's right. He has all the power in the universe, something they do not have. So they're going to gather together and they're going to make their plans and they're going to try to get rid of this alien threat. And plus they will have all of his followers in one place. Finally, they can isolate and kill all the Christians. That's right. And all, you know, Satan and the Antichrist and all of his governments, they will love it. They will love the idea. Finally, once and for all, we can eradicate, all these idiot Christians that followed and believed in the Bible, because now they're with their alien pretender who is using them. So we'll just get rid of them all. That's right. That's what they think. Because Christ is not going to surrender with the billions of people that are with him where he is. So don't worry about logistics. He's the creator of the whole universe, of everything that ever was or ever will be. I think we can handle the logistics, just like the people who question Noah and the animals getting on the ark. So how did they get all those big elephants? You know, because they're not very smart. They're not as smart as Noah and God was. You get babies, you know. And you only get one of each kind so that they can propagate all of the kinds that will come in afterwards. And plus they don't have to take bugs on the and seeds on the ark either. Yeah. So how will God do it? Like I said, he has all the resources of the universe. So that's what's going to happen. And I believe that this is going to take years. I think, yeah, we got a lot of celebrating to do. We got a family reunion, you know, all the people that are part of the family of God will finally be all together in one place, and we're going to be quite busy. Yeah, so I believe, and that is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. For them to think it takes place in heaven, not on this planet, kind of negates the whole idea of anything happening on this planet in the first place. Of course it's going to happen here. This idea of having the marriage supper of the Lamb somewhere else doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Just doesn't make any sense. Although there's not much said about it. And a lot of these things, you know, we can only hypothesize as to where and when and how long they will take place. But going off into total fantasy doesn't work for me. I have to stick with what the Bible does reveal, rather than ad lib adding things to it, like a secret rapture and a trip to heaven for 7 years, where we come back again at the real resurrection of Christ, where all the people who weren't special enough to make the secret rapture will join, I guess, all the people that were raptured because they were special and tribulation wasn't for them, but only for those that really suffered and really stood up for their faith, even to death. Yeah. Not special people. Indeed, a family reunion. And all the people I've never met, we will be looking for each other. And of course, I'll be looking for many loved ones that I have lost in the interim. I know there's some people I want to see right away. But we'll have plenty of time. Like forever? I mean, when you think about it, we'll have the family reunion, and then we'll have the whole millennial reign of Christ, where we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. You know, we'll get our job descriptions and what we're going to do for the 1,000 years in his kingdom, and I will gladly serve him as I gladly serve him now. Only it'll be better then, because then I will have a glorified body. I will never even be tempted to sin again. Now, who doesn't want that? Yeah. I want it. I don't like dealing with temptation and sin and this, you know, failing flesh that I live in, that is prone to wander. Yeah, I hate that. Using the expression, I can't wait, but I will, you know, because it's all in God's time, not mine. So anyway, this guy goes on. Some explanation will certainly be offered, and I suspect Satan will, in very direct but deceptive way, join in on the explanation. So he's going to tell us what Satan's going to do. If millions of people have disappeared, like I said, nobody's going to disappear. The only question will be is how did they get from point A to point B without a jet plane? But the answer will be alien technology. They will, like I said, they will consider Jesus an alien invasion. And then that we have all been snatched because of our disposition to believe in the prophecy fantasy of the Bible, which Jesus will be considered, like I said, a fake, a pretender. And that he was, yeah, and that's how I believe they're going to explain it. The movies have already been made. I already seen that Star Trek episode, like I said. And I liked it. I watched that episode. I'm kind of a Star Trek fan myself, but I never believed any of it was real. There are people that seem to believe that what they watch in the movie is real, but maybe it was somewhat prescient. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe there isn't a satanic influence there where we can see what his plan is and how he is going to explain it when Christ comes back. So that's what will be going on. And it's not imminent. I'm sorry. There are things that have to happen in prophecy that haven't happened yet. And since prophecy has been 100% correct up to this day, I expect the prophecy to continue to be 100% correct. Now, a lot of people's interpretations are wrong. Yes, I'll give you that. That probably most people, most prophecy pundits are getting it wrong. And they just make it up as they go along, like this Rev310.net and Rapture Ready and all of these people. If they read, like the article I was talking about earlier, that is this article here, chapter 5, the fifth vial, progress of papal judgment, what would they think? Yeah, if they really read some real prophecy that was fulfilled in history dealing with the Antichrist, they can't accept it because all they say is, well, we can't know who the Antichrist is. Well, did you read that in the Bible too? Well, yeah, it says that he won't be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. And the restrainer is the Holy Ghost. But that text doesn't say any of that. It does say that he won't be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. It does say that. But the early church fathers who learned from John and the apostles themselves, even Paul, expressed that he explained that to them when he was with them. And their report was that when the Roman Empire fell and was divided into 10 kingdoms, then the Antichrist would be revealed. And that did happen about the 5th century. Yeah. About the 5th century, 4th, 5th centuries AD. That's when the kingdom was divided into 10 and the Antichrist was revealed. And but they don't believe that because they can't read it in the Bible, you know. But did those guys who learned from John and the apostles, did they get it wrong? Did they just make up something new? I don't think so. I think I'm going to go with what they wrote and what they believed because they listened to the apostles themselves. Of course, it's cryptically given in the scripture itself. But he did decrypt for them in person for reasons that are very logical, that he did not want to bring more persecution on them by saying that the Roman Empire was going to fall and divide into 10 kingdoms, because then they would have been insurrectionists against the Roman Empire. So he could write it cryptically in the book, which it is done. But the thing is, the prophecy is not there so that we can know the future. That's not the reason that the prophecy is given to us. It's given to us so that we can verify the prophecy after it has been fulfilled, so that we know that all the promises of God are true and that we can believe by faith in them, because we have a track record of prophecy being fulfilled, that history in advance that only God could know was written into his word, and that when that prophecy comes close to being fulfilled or is fulfilled, then it becomes obvious to his people. And we go, yes, God's word is reliable. He does know the beginning from the end. And he proclaimed that as one of the signs of the difference between the him, the God who created everything, and the false gods out there who can tell you nothing about the future. So the purpose of the prophecy is not so that we can know the future, but so that we can verify that God's word is true and that he knew the future before it happened. That's why most of it is cryptic, so that those who don't believe and don't understand will continue to not understand and not believe. But those of us that have been born again and are spirit-filled, we can begin to understand and especially see what has already been fulfilled. But these new prophets, like Rev310.net, they tell you nothing in the Bible that all of, from the seals onward, is all about the future. That none of that has been fulfilled. So we got nothing. The only prophecy fulfilled for the rapturous is the prophecy up to Jesus' time. Then nothing is fulfilled. And all of that prophecy is not about verifying God's word is true so that you can believe it. But actually, they do a disservice to God's word by saying that it's not about the past. It's not proof to you that God's word, his prophecy in advance, has been unfolding in the history since it was written. But it's all about the future. It's all speculation now. So they've made the whole of the revelation entirely speculation. You can't believe any of it because you can't verify that any of it is true. But if I could verify that what God wrote about would happen over the last 1800 years, if I could see it coming to pass chronologically throughout the history up to this point, then I would know that the prophecy is true and that God's word, because it has verified itself through that history, that it is true, and I can trust it, and I can believe in God's word, and it builds up my faith so that I can be saved by that faith in the work that he did on the cross to save me from my sins. And I can believe it, and I have assurance that all of the promises that have not come to pass, that beyond this point will come to pass, because I've watched everything up to this point come to pass. And so I say, anyone, I put the link there in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net, and check out that link and read that embarrassing history of the Antichrist and learn how to really apply God's prophecy or history in advance prophecy that is written in God's word and how it was fulfilled to the letter. And you might want to read the whole Hori Apocalypticae once you figure out, hey, look, this did happen, and this Antichrist was real, and he did rule for 1260 years, just as the prophecy said. So what the prophecy said was going to happen after the 1260 years, I can see has come to pass, and is coming to pass, and we're in the midst of the period of time, or near the end of it, really, of the last era of prophecy. That is the era between the fall of the papacy and the end of its 1260-year reign and the return of Christ. And everything it said would happen in that era has or is or will happen very shortly. because the time is becoming very short. If we go on the millennial scale, we are near the end of the sixth millennia. And I say about 35 years. Yeah. About 35 years off. About the year 2055. That's less than 35 years, isn't it? Well, now it is. Time really flies, because I've been saying this since 2015 when I wrote my article. And you can see it at my website in the upper right-hand corner. You see this, the globe there where it says, what year is it when you go there? That's at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org will get you there. And click on that, what year is it? And learn for yourself. First, I have the summary chart right there, and it outlines everything that the article brings into detail so that you can follow it, right? Okay, so get back to the article, and you can read all of the details of how we come to that chart. There are other charts, subcharts, I should say, and many details that bring you back to the chart there. We talk about the calendars, everything, and then it comes back to the summary chart. And we realize that since the Genesis creation, which was about 45 BCE, brings us to about 2055 will be the year 6000, 5999, 6000, meaning there's one millennium left to this creation before it's done away with and we get a new heaven and new earth according to the prophecy in the Revelation. So Christ will be coming back about 2055. I don't know the exact day, month, or even year. I say give or take a year. It doesn't matter. I likely won't be alive in 2055 because that's 30 years away, 32 years away, right? So I have to live to be 102 since this is my 70th year on the planet right now. Will I make it? It's a possibility. I'll do everything I can. I'll do my job. Just make sure you do yours. And keep your eye on the prize. There's nothing more important than that. Well, we're out of time. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life.